Mr. Chair, I.
Okay, so it is 5:01 by my watch. I call to order our August 10th, 2020 Water Utility Commission meeting. Can we open the roll call, please?
Chair McMillan?
Here.
Vice Chair Reynolds?
Here.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Here.
Commissioner Hurt?
Here.
Commissioner Merritt?
Here.
Commissioner Milky?
Here.
Commissioner Tucker? Thank you.
It's really good to see everybody. Enable to attend the meeting. Do we know if we have any members of the public of this meeting?
No, Mr. Chair, we do not.
So our meeting will be online, obviously, and we'll have the same order of operation as we did last time. I believe my mic and Peter's mic will be open all the time, but everybody else will be muted. And so as we go through this, I will do my best to allow or let you guys know when it's appropriate to raise your hand. If you have a question or you want to make a comment, we'll make a motion. And so at that time, you raise your hand, Danielle will unmute your mic, and then you can speak. Other than that, I think it's business as usual. And so if anything comes up that's not clear, just comment and we'll see what we can do to fix it. So let's go to call to audience. Do we have any audience in the public?
I do not see any hands raised.
Okay, seeing no hands raised from the public, we'll close that part of our meeting and we'll meet our regular agenda. We'll start with review and approval of the June 15th, 2020 special session meeting minutes. Does anybody have any comments or questions on those meeting minutes? If you do, raise your hand. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands raised. And we'll go to then a motion to approve the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
We have a motion to approve the minutes by Commissioner Murphy. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Hertz, a second of the motion. And we have a roll call on that.
Chair McMillan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Reynolds?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Here. Yes.
Commissioner Hurt?
Yes.
Commissioner Merritt?
Yes.
And Commissioner Milky?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Motion was approved. And we'll move on to our second agenda item, which is discussion on reclaimed water history, policy, financing, and usage by Peter.
Thank you very much, Chair McMillan, and can the commission hear me okay? Okay, great. So this presentation came about as a result of, you know, our last public meeting with respect to the water rates, both the potable and reclaimed. And the genesis of it really comes from the Mayor and Council water policies with respect to reclaimed water. I think this is something that we're gonna dive into this next, this current fiscal year we're in. It'll come up in pretty specific detail, I think, in the finance subcommittee when we start talking about water rates, and we'll be bringing it to the commission as a whole. But just kind of wanted to start some of our legacy commissioners, they're going to know this story, but some of our new commissioners, this will be a good primer for them as we start going down this path. And one of the things, Danielle, if we can make a note, and if you don't have it, I'll send it to you, but we'll want to send all the commissioners the mayor and town council water policies, and just so they can have that. So let's just get started here. Next slide, please. So a little bit of history of the town and reclaimed water. Before the town even had a water utility, pre-1996, the town leadership understood that they needed to utilize water resources other than groundwater to sustain the town at build out and beyond. And that's one of the reasons why the town purchased the two private water companies to establish a water utility. In 1996, the town did purchase two private water companies, and the Oro Valley Water Utility was created. From 1996 to 2000, there was a commission involvement, there were task forces, consultant involvement, and staff. They performed and reviewed feasibility studies to deliver renewable water to the Oro Valley Water Utility Service Area. And at that time, when I say renewable water, well, that included both reclaimed water and CAP water, even though the focus of this is primarily reclaimed. That when we say renewable water, it's those sources of supply other, pretty much other than groundwater. The Renewable Water Resources Report was adopted by Town Council in October of 2000. And the report had identified the use of reclaimed water for irrigation purposes as the first step in the town's utilization of renewable water resources. In 2001 to 2002, there was some work done to acquire ownership of the effluent that was Oro Valley's, that, you know, the Oro Valley wasn't utilizing it, but we required the rights to the reclaimed water, and it was about a 2-year period to do that. In November 2001, an intergovernmental agreement with the city of Tucson was established. There was an agreement, and it provided the effluent rights to serve as the reclaimed water supply, and it talked about how that water was delivered. It didn't get into specifics, but it was very high level. In October of 2000, the Renewable Water Resource Report was adopted by Town Council, and it led to the creation of the Reclaimed Water System Master Plan, and that was adopted by Town Council in September of 2002. Next slide, please. So 2003 to 2007, in October 2003, the council adopted an ordinance mandating the use of reclaimed water for irrigation of turf that is 2 or more acres in size. So here again, you know, we get the rights to the reclaimed water. We come up with an idea of how we're going to get it into the town. That's all good and fine, but now you have to have the policies in place that require the customer base you're targeting to have to use it. And that's what ordinance was about. Reclaimed water rates and a groundwater preservation fee was adopted by the town council in October 2003. So get the rights to the water, plan how you're going to get it here, require people to use it, and now we got to figure out a way to pay for it. And that's where the groundwater preservation fee comes about with respect to this adoption. In October 2003, an IGA, we call it addendum number 1 to the November 2001 IGA. We've got lots of addendums now with the city of Tucson, and it provides specifics with respect to the delivery, the capacity, the design fees, the costs, and the point of delivery. So that 2003 IGA, that really dove deep into, you know, the delivery points, how much, consultants did some design work for the Oro Valley side, I think of it as the independent portion of bringing reclaimed water into the Oro Valley service area. And then Tucson Water did their designs with in-house staff. So that 2003 IGA talked about all of that. In 2004, 2005, 2005, the reclaimed water infrastructure construction of phase one took place, and it was done in two distinct phases. Phase one included 14 miles of transmission and distribution mains, three booster stations. Two of those booster stations are operated by Tucson Water, and one of the booster stations is operated by the Oro Valley Water Utility. There was a 1.5 million gallon reservoir that was constructed, and that was that's owned and operated by the Oro Valley Water Utility, and three metering stations. And those metering stations is what served the initial phase one customers, and that was Sun City, Stone Canyon, and Vistoso Highlands. We began reclaimed water deliveries in, I think it was November or December of 2005. Moving on to 2006 and 2007, there was more infrastructure constructed. It was known as phase two, and that's what we're able to serve the north and south lakes of the town-owned golf courses, El Conquistador, as well as Naranja Park, Painted Sky, and some reclaimed hydrants we have that we allow contractors to use for construction purposes or street sweepers or those sorts of things. So here you can see, you know, a lot of activity right after 2003 up to 2007. You got phase one, phase two, a lot of groundwork, a lot of footwork had to be done to establish the groundwork on, you know, getting the resource. How do we get it here? How do we pay for it? And the real success story on behalf of the town and the water utility. Next slide, please. So the effluent policy and financing, and here's kind of getting into the meat and potatoes of what I'd like the commission to take away from this presentation here. Mayor and council water policies, it's the latest one. They're amended March 2nd, 2005, and it states, and I did some paraphrasing here just to save some space, but substitution of reclaimed water for non-potable water uses is desirable. Rate setting for reclaimed water shall be in accordance with the following. Charges for reclaimed water shall be based on a cost of service whenever possible. If a cost of service charges do not provide adequate price incentive, the price of reclaimed water shall be based on a market value that encourages its use. The defining of a process to sell reclaimed water to any customer at a rate other than that established by resolution. So basically, everybody pays the same price for reclaimed water. One of the things I'd like us to wrestle with this year is, you know, maybe providing better resolution to some of these broad-based, you know, statements. The financing, phase one, that was the most expensive part of the implementing the reclaim system because it had those three booster stations, reservoirs, large diameter pipe. $11.4 million was funded as part of the 2003 $31.75 million 25-year traditional bond. So of that $31.75 million, $11.4 was for the reclaim system. A little over $3.6 million was funded with cash reserves from the utilities operating fund, and a little over $2.1 million was cash funded to pay Tucson Water for infrastructure improvements. So what that was for is we had to go back into Tucson Water's system and actually build a booster station that it's owned and operated by Tucson Water, but we had to pay for the construction of that just to get the capacity into our service area. So there's a little over, you know, almost $6 million that was cash funded there. Real exciting news as of June 30th of this year, our outstanding balance is a little over $4 million on that debt service, and it's slated to be paid in full by July 1st of 2028. So really hammering that debt service. That's great. The phase two was financed with a water infrastructure by the Water Infrastructure Financing Authority, or WIFA, a WIFA loan. A little over $4.5 million was funded in 2007 on a 20-year note. And again, as of June 30th of 2020, the outstanding balance on that debt of a little over $2.1 million, it will be paid in full on by July 1st of 2027. So that's a big chunk of debt service that's going to be paid off in the next 7 or 8 years. So that's real exciting. Next slide, please. So here, just kind of looking at the reclaimed water usage in acre feet since the 2005, which was the first year of delivery. Here again, I mentioned, I think we brought that online in November or December of 2005, and that's why the volume is so low. And you can see 2006 was the first full year of that phase one, as well as 2007. And then you can see phase two came online, and we started picking up some, the painted sky and the reclaimed hydrants for construction use. And we peaked, about, 2013, 2014, all the way to 2017. And then we noticed Vistoso was starting to drop off on their utilization of reclaimed water. And we know that story now. So the drop-off you see in 2019, that's a result of losing that 18 holes of reclaimed usage. One thing I like to point out is, interestingly enough, the way our there's a calculation that's used to determine what our entitlement is of effluent. I won't go into it here, but typically we've always used about 200 acre feet more reclaimed water than we're entitled to. Fortunately, the intergovernmental agreement we have with the city of Tucson thought that this is something that could happen, and it provides us direction with how we pay for it, how much do we pay for it, and when do we pay for it, that sort of thing. So every year we write a check to Tucson Water for roughly, 150, 200 acre feet of reclaimed water. Now, even though we've dropped off in 2019, well, we still make that $150 acre foot per year payment to Tucson Water, because the effluent calculation is based on how much potable water is produced. And as you might remember, our potable water production has dropped off steadily since, 2005, 6, and 7. So we still utilize a little more reclaimed water than we're entitled to. So just a little side note on that. Any discussion? I think this is the last slide. And here again, the purpose of this presentation is just kind of a primer to the mayor and council water policy that we need to look at. And, maybe, since it's been, 5 or 6 years since it's been updated, maybe take a look at it and see if we need to make some updates to that policy to reflect our current environment and maybe provide us with a little more resolution or specific guidance. But any questions?
I have a question just out of curiosity. I know there's been some public discussion about the abandoned golf course becoming cooking space. I'm just wondering if that actually happens, would there be any irrigation of that area with reclaimed water, or?
We would certainly want to encourage that. We have the infrastructures there, the metering stations there. I mean, I think that should almost be an expectation for that kind of, if open space required some kind of irrigation. I don't really, even though I have my finger on the pulse of what's going on there, I couldn't tell you, what direction we're going yet. But yeah, we're ready to serve serve that area with reclaimed water, we're well positioned to do it. We'd like to do that.
I have a question, Peter. You said we use more than we're entitled to, but get it from Tucson Water. Now that the Stoso's offline, will that still be the case?
It still is, because our potable demand has dropped off. Now, we have to pay Tucson Water a little less, like I had mentioned previous to the Stoso's, like 150 to 200 acre feet a year. Just this last year, it was between 100 and 150. And that's because our potable water production dropped off. Now, as you'll see later tonight, we have a little tick up in our production. So, you know, if the potable demand goes up, without Vistoso, we could reach a break even point.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you so much, Peter.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move to our next agenda item, which is a discussion on Central Arizona Project Coordination Meeting. Peter, speak.
Thank you, Chair McMillan. This was a really neat meeting that CAP reached out to us, you know, as a stakeholder. And I think the genesis of this is the 2007 shortage sharing guidelines. They expire in 2026. And I think CAP is reaching out to stakeholders in preparation for doing that work and revisiting what the shortage sharing guidelines look like, meaning you know, at certain lake mead elevations, who gets cut, how much they get cut. We're going to revisit that. And I think the CAP's, this is a result of the work that we're going to begin doing on that. I think CAP's reaching out to their stakeholders, you know, look at how are their customers using CAP water now? What are their plans to use CAP water? So next slide, please. So we had it was neat. It was the meetings with Oro Valley. It was with myself, Lee Jacobs, Mary Rallis, J.J. Johnson from Community and Economic Development, as well as Mary Jacobs, the town manager. And we met with the CAP folks, and I just put the org charts there. We had an agenda and a PowerPoint. We did it was all online, just like a meeting, just like this. And we had welcome and introductions. A lot of CAP folks, you know, maybe eight folks attended. We exchanged and reviewed our organizational structures, which is really good for the CAP to see how, you know, who manages the water resources within the department. And I think they were impressively surprised that is how much we do with very few folks. So I think they had a great appreciation for that. Next slide, please. So Oro Valley, we presented first, and it was really just kind of an overview of where we were, where we are, where we're going, how we're going to get there. How does CAP fit into all that? So I talked about Oro Valley, the Oro Valley Water Utility yesterday and today. We talked about our two service areas, the main service area and the countryside service area. We talked about our assets. We talked about our water resource utilization, past, present, and future. And also shared our water resource utilization model that I've shared with the commission before. Yeah, I think they came away pretty impressed with our portfolio and how we're managing it. And I mean, not that we're doing anything that nobody else is doing, but it's just, I don't think it's ever been communicated the way we did. So I think they're impressed with how Oro Valley manages its resources. But you guys know all that. Next slide, please. So this is the good stuff. So after we presented to CAP, CAP presented to us, they gave us a Colorado River Supply status update. You know, we've had two pretty good years of hydrology in the upper basin states. One of the things that's interesting in 2018-19 was just a banner year for water resources with respect to the snowpack and the runoff we got. It was really beneficial to Powell and Meade in calendar years 1920. Again, we had another great year, but if you remember it, we didn't really get a spring. We kind of went winter, summer. It got really hot, really fast. And what the result of that was, there was less runoff. Even though we got a lot more snowpack in the upper basin states, we lost a lot more of that than usual to evaporation and just, you know, a thirsty ground. It didn't really have a chance to get saturated and stay saturated, which would lead to more runoff. We're still above the curve. We got more water than normal or average. So they talked about, you know, the supply. And basically, for the next, all the models show is for the next 2 years, we're not in a, we stay out of a tier one curtailments. And of course, that's good news. That's good news for agriculture. They're the lowest priority users, and they would be cut first, or one of the first to be cut. So that's good news for the river system. We went over the system use agreement overview and water quality monitoring. The system use agreement, I've talked about that with the commission, and that was work that was done 2 years ago. And what it basically allows is what we call non-project water to be put into the canal. The way the law was is the only water that could be in the canal was Colorado River water. Well, as we look at the potential for shortages, we have this infrastructure that can convey water. What are the opportunities of using it to convey water other than Colorado River water? And there's lots of opportunities to do that. And the system use agreement provides us with that capability to do that. But like everything, you solve one problem and now you've created another problem to solve, and that has to do with water quality. The Colorado, the upper basin states, and that runoff, surprisingly, the water quality is very, very consistent with respect to pH and total dissolved solids and hardness, and the constituents that make up that water. There's not a lot of, it doesn't change very much. But here's the thing, if we look at, let's just say, for example, you allow Salt River Project water in the canal. Well, there's times a year where the Salt River Project water hardness, or the TDS, I should say, the TDS is nearly 1,000. I mean, that's twice as much as what the Colorado or the upper basin states provide in terms of total dissolved solids. So, and then, of course, you know, Southern Arizona is very concerned about this because, you know, we're towards the end of the line. So a lot of work was done in committees and subcommittees, and Oro Valley was participated in all those. It hasn't been finalized yet, and we're looking forward to reviewing what the water quality standards would be allowed for in the canal. So there's a little discussion on that. Talked about CAP rates under a shortage sharing scenario. And we're going to, a little further in the presentation here, we're going to go into some of these little graphs I'm showing at the bottom here in greater detail. You know, here again with rates, you know, you have the same infrastructure, the same capital you have to take care of, and now you're delivering less water. That typically means, you know, rates go up. Fixed costs are the same, and you're distributing those costs over fewer customers. So we talked about that. We also talked about the expiration of the 2007 shortage sharing guidelines and what was next on that. Next slide, please. So here again, just showing as of July 27th of 2020, Lake Powell was, you know, looking better than it's had in a while, a 51% full Lake Mead's shown a great improvement. It's 10 feet over the tier one elevation. I don't know, remember, probably about 2 years ago, we were right at 1075 and some change, you know, so Lake Mead has come up about 10 feet. So what does all this mean? At the end of the day, we have enough water in the river system that would keep us out of a tier one shortage. So like I had mentioned, the curtailments to CAP users is there's a priority system. Municipalities are in the highest levels of that priority system, and the shortages initially affect agriculture the most. They have a lower priority than industry or municipalities. Next slide, please. This is pretty interesting. So this is the CAP or Bureau of Reclamation. Bureau of Reclamation has a pretty, and they're the ones that manage the river and the operation of the river. They have some pretty sophisticated models. And what this just shows, and this was shared by CAP to us, you look at that tan line on the bottom, it's called the minimum probable projection. So what you're looking at here, you're looking at Lake Mead. And if you look at the 1075 line, that's the where you get into a tier one shortage. So they're showing you there, you know, the minimum probable projection is, you know, in early 2022 or the first quarter of 2022, dipping significantly below 1075. The blue line is the most probable projection. You see it's just bouncing around there, what they call tier zero. And then the green line is the maximum probable projection. So, you know, these are, it's just interesting to see. I don't know what else to say about that. It's nice to see that the most probable projection is, you know, kind of hanging out there like it has been since, you know, 2018. Next slide, please. Then with respect to CAP rates, Christian, are you able to move your mouse so they can, yes, you are. So Christian, go to M&I, the first line, subcontract B plus C, go to 2020, right there. So what this shows is this is what we pay per acre foot. And then you can see in 2021, there's a firm charge. And then as you go across, you get to provisional and advisory. Now, these are all the numbers we use when we use our when we create our five-year pro forma. You know, what we pay for these resources greatly affects the five-year pro forma. Now, what you add on to the M&I is, can you go to the capital charges to your right there? So here you look at the capital charges and this, yeah, there you go, great. Here again, you get the firm, provisional, and advisory. What's really important is, yeah, keep going to the right, Christian, there you go, a little more, right? We want to go to the next table, keep going, right there, yeah. So here, this is something new that CAP created, and what they try to do, and I'm sorry it's hard to read, I was trying to get it to fit on one slide. What they're doing here is they're showing what the fixed rate would be for different tiers. So tier zero, you're at $102, but look what happens when you start getting into a tier one. Even tier one, take tier one across, 136. Go across to 144. This is something we're going to really need to keep an eye on, and really think about how we want to manage this kind of risk with respect to rates. So this is a whole new area for us. It's really something we've never had to consider before. But you know, we'll be looking at the Bureau of Reclamation models. Making judgment calls on where we think we're going to be in the tier the tiered system, if we're going to stay in tier zero, ended up in tier one, so on and so forth. So this was all new, definitely interesting, and adds a whole new dynamic to rate setting. But, you know, we're not alone in this. All water service providers that have access to CAP as a water resource, we're all going to have to figure out how we manage this risk. Next slide, please. So this was the last item, is the 2007 guidelines. They expire in 2026. And what's very interesting is CAP, in the past, there had been some friction between CAP and ADWR. I'm happy to report that's pretty much gone now. The general manager of CAP and the director of ADWR, they're collaborating a lot. Both departments are, and that's good for Arizona, especially as we go into negotiating with other states, the Bureau of Reclamation. That kind of collaborative work is really important, and they're calling this work that we're going to begin doing a reconsultation process. I guess maybe, you know, renegotiation doesn't have a good tone to it, so we came up with a new name that I can't pronounce. But basically what they're talking about is, you know, the different levels and who the stakeholders are. We have the reclamation-led level. That's a federal level, Bureau of Reclamation. And there's lots of different tracks of engagement there. The second level is the basin states level, and that, you know, just like it says, that's the states trying to work together. And then the third level, you know, more of an Arizona only level, like that's here, very similar to the Lower Basin Drought Contingency Plan. This is where these are really the opportunities where Oro Valley can get involved as a stakeholder, and primarily through our affiliation and involvement with the Southern Arizona Water Users Association. But in this reconsultation process, it's level three where Oro Valley really fits in. So I think the genesis of CAP reaching out to us was really for this last slide here, is understanding who their stakeholders are, what their needs are. During the presentation, I made it clear that, you know, Oro Valley wants to be a part of this process, and they were looking for that. They want people that are, because it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy to become part of these processes, and we definitely want a seat at this table. So with that, next slide, please, and any discussion.
I have a quick question. So we're talking about the tap water delivery fees. Is it normal for our fees to go up every year?
For which fees is that?
Tap water delivery fee.
Oh, CAP water?
Yeah, CAP water.
No, it's actually gone down some years. It depends on a lot of things. Like one of the primary things is where they're getting their power from, how much they're paying for power. You know, as we don't pay for, you know, nobody pays for the water per se. You know, that it's actually, you know, free. It's just, it's the cost of getting it 1,500 miles. But no, it doesn't always go up. It's pretty level, but we've had some years where it's been a dollar or two less per acre foot, and other years it's up. But typically the provisional or the like the projected, let's see, like with I want to get the word right here, bear with me here. Yeah, the advisory. Typically the advisory numbers, like, when we do go with the finance subcommittee and do our 5-year pro forma, sometimes we'll adjust those advisory numbers because typically they're really high. I mean, they're super duper conservative, and it would just make our pro forma, it would look unpalatable to me. So we'll knock down a few bucks on that, because my experience with working with the CMP numbers is the advisory is always high. Now, what throws a different perspective on this now is we have, okay, here's the rate in certain areas for a tier 0, 1, 2, 3, you know, tier 2A, 2B shortage. So now we're looking at the Bureau of Reclamation model and what does it show? So anyways, to answer your question, it doesn't always go up every year.
When did we find out what the rate's going to be for the next year?
So they just did a modeling run, and that's why you're able to see through 2022. So it would be August of next year before you'd see 2023 as a provisional.
Any other comments, questions for Peter? Okay, thank you, Peter. That was very interesting. Let's move on to discussion of Loma Valley Water Utility Capital Projects.
Okay. Thank you, Chair McMillan. So, Christian, let's see. Okay. Pull up the PowerPoint. So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about last fiscal year's capital projects, and then I'll move into this year's capital projects. And I'll try to go briefly over the ones, because I know you're familiar with a lot of the ones we worked on last fiscal year. But go ahead and move next slide there, Christian. So we'll go over the completed project for fiscal year 2019-2020. So the El Conquistador booster rehabilitation, that was a big project. We completed that one. We designed that in-house. The Naranja Reservoir rehabilitation, the well D8 hydropneumatic tank replacement, the well C8 rehabilitation, the La Reserve PRV construction, and some new main valves that were replaced, as well as some air release valves that were replaced as part of that project, and then the facility rehabilitation and upgrades of the reclaim plant wall. Next slide, Christian. So here's the El Conquistador booster rehabilitation. We went through, and you can kind of see there back in the background there on that top picture, you can see Peter kind of directing the show there. He got a big grin on his face. Huh? So this project involved quite a bit. This was real extensive. This project was more, it was a rehabilitation, but we took advantage of an opportunity to look at the efficiencies of the pumps that we had in place, because we were having what we thought we could improve on was our efficiency. And sure enough, to make a long story short, we were able to replace the existing pumps, rehab them, rehab some of the motors, and develop a more efficient system. And you know, Peter actually helped with a lot of the design. He guided us through that as part of this project. As you can see, it lowered the RPMs. It was much quieter. We did have a screen prior to that, and you can see on the lower photo where some panels are laying up against the wall. Those were noise dissipation walls that we had put in so that the neighbors wouldn't hear the noise from the motors. So we were able to reduce the noise as well as make them more efficient and achieve our flows that we wanted to achieve in order to fill our reservoir, our water plant 13. We did some recirculation. We did some modifications on the recirculation lines. And then as well as the above ground piping, we did some modifications on those as well. Did some coatings and the work was completed in fiscal year 2019-2020. Next slide, Christian. This is the Naranja Reservoir interior relining. This is a 5,000-gallon reservoir. It was identified initially as the interior lining rehabilitation during an annual inspection. What we discovered was some structural issues that we had to address, including the centerpiece there, the dollar plate, and the I-beams that were supporting it. We had lost some of the cross members there. And so we went back and we had our contractor reweld some new, completely all the way around, structural supports to prevent the beams from twisting. We took off the vent. We increased the vent size, as well as coated the top of that. Got into some really tight areas. We're able to recoat the entire top of the vent area, put on a new vent, and then of course you can see this photo. From this photo, we relined the entire interior. It also included some sandblasting, structural repairs, patching, and relining. Next photo, Christian. Here's some additional photos of inside the Naranja Reservoir. You can see this is a better picture. That lower left-hand photo, it shows that dollar plate and some of the repairs that were done. You can kind of, it's hard to see, but you can, if you look closely, you can see some of the cross members that were put in. Now you have some inspectors. We're doing a spark test, what they call a spark test, as looking for any areas where we've missed the any coatings of any sorts. And then the upper right corner, they're doing a mill thickness, checking the mill thickness of the coatings throughout. And this was a long process because they have to, with the spark test, they literally have to cover just about every inch of surface area within the reservoir. And you can see the scaffolding here on the lower right. They're getting up there looking at the scaffolding. Our inspectors side by side with them, just ensuring that we're achieving those goals. And we were well over our mill thickness spec, so that was a good thing. So we felt we got a really good product here. We actually also changed out a valve, a butterfly valve on the outside, and did some minor coating as well to some of those water features. Next slide, Christian. Here's the D8 well, hydro tank replacement. You can kind of see where some of the effort that had to be taken here with the big crane there, and then lifting it over the wall and putting that in place. So now we've got an ASMP certified tank there now. We had some minor modifications. We actually interconnected our C-zone to minimize any outages. We had a temporary outage to our C-zone, our C-plus zone, I'm sorry, just with a small community of about, I think, 40 homes. So we were able to provide that, change this out, the HP tank, and get everybody back into service, as well as maintain that interconnect in the event that we needed to reuse it. Next slide, Kristen. This is well C8 rehabilitation. This well, it was drilled, I want to say, in the 80s, 70s, late 70s. We were in rehab the well. We rebuilt the pump, brand new pumps, existing motor. Reused the motor. And here, this is a photo of some of the patchwork. This is a patch that's going in to patch some of the deterioration that was in the well. So we were able to accomplish all that this year, as well as the header pipe, the discharge piping. There's not a good picture there, but you can kind of see here, this is the old one, and then all that was replaced with new, as well as a new meter and a new compressor. Next slide, Christian. This is the La Reserve PRV site. This site is going to, now we're going to be able to level feed this zone here, level control through the PRV, rather than using a pressure controlled system at the Deer Run booster. Here's the PRV was set up aside to kind of get it out of the way and off the curb and in an area that could be kind of, I guess you could say, screened natural with some natural vegetation. And then on the left, you have the contractor that's doing the hydro seed there. This was all designed in-house, and then we subbed it out to our contractor to build it. And it came out pretty nice. Next slide, Christian. This is the La Choya, last year's La Choya widening project. This project's probably 98% complete from a water standpoint. We have some minor adjustments to do with our valve boxes, ARV boxes, things like that. But for the most part, we're substantially complete. You can see the left, there was a pipe going in, and then now you can see the nice pavement there on the right. and it's starting to turn out pretty good. Next slide, Kristen. This is our reclaim plant and the wall rehabilitation that was done. We went around the complete perimeter, and there's heights as high as 17 feet high. The pickets. This was a pretty substantial project. It involved removing all of the old, the paint, anything that was loose, pressure washing the entire site, and coming back and recoating it. It was and doing some patchwork as well on the masonry part of the walls, certain masonry parts. There were some electrical upgrades that were done as well. We did some lighting. You can see on the left, there's some night lighting. Charles was able to really light the whole facility, but and it looks bright there, but it's really not that bright when you're out there, but it's clear enough that when you're on site, you can see where you're going. So that was a huge improvement on the interior lighting within the site, within the facility itself. Next slide. So this year's capital projects, this is what we have lined up. We've got the Allied Signal Reservoir replacement coming, the well rehabilitation for D1 and Countryside 1, replacement of the hydropneumatic tanks at High Mesa and well F1, Nokomis Sky retaining wall and well equipping. That's one that we've been looking forward to. We've got the designs done, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Steam pump well, equipping the La Cañada offsite electrical and discharge piping, and as well as engineering. We've been doing some of the engineering last year as well as this year. We're complete with the offsite design, and we're going to move forward with now construction of the electrical to bring that to have the ability to construct the boosters and have the capacity to run the boosters there on that side. Main valve replacement. Again, it's just our ongoing valve replacement program that we have within the water distribution. Design of the wood shade booster and the PRV design of Rancho Sonora. Okay, next slide, Christian. So here's the Allied Signal Reservoir. During an inspection, our annual inspection, and I think we try to get every 3 years, we try to revisit each of our reservoirs on a rotating schedule to inspect them. Both interior, we'll have a diver go in, inspect it. So it had been about 3 years since this one was inspected. And this reservoir I think it's close to 30 or 40 years old. And so during our inspection, we realized that there was some additionals, there was some structural damage that needed to be addressed. And we looked at the cost benefit of replacing the tank as well as rehabilitating what we had existing. When you looked at the numbers, it made more sense to replace the entire reservoir rather than to rebuild it and to add an additional capacity vertical height. So we're going to be doing that right now. That's in design. We're hoping to get that designed and constructed this year and then get that back in service. So currently it's out of service right now. Next slide, Kristen. And then that, by the way, that's a high priority project there for the water utility. Well, D8 rehab, this is up at Water Plant 4. We're going to be rehabbing as part of our well rehab program. We're going to be rehabbing the well, brush and bale, pull the pump, evaluate the pump, look at the efficiencies, and then make a determination of moving forward with the sizing of that pump. There's going to be some above ground coatings, and the work is also scheduled to be completed this year as well. Next slide. This is C1 Countryside. This one will also be rehab, brush and baled, inspected. There's always a pre and a post video log to assess the condition of the casing. as well as the brushing and baling that goes on. And then we'll also complete this one this year, this fiscal year as well. Next slide, Christian. This is High Mesa E-Zone HP tank. If you recall last year, I think it was the last year or the year before last, we replaced the tank on the far, at the far side of the photo there. And now the one closest to us is the one that we're going to be replacing this fiscal year. During that last HP tank replacement, we actually were able to do a lot of coating on the exterior. So we're going to do some additional HP tank replacement here, and as well as the appurtenances, the steeling well, the sight glass, everything, and the piping as well. Next slide, Christian. This is well F1. This HP tank will also be replaced this fiscal year. It's scheduled to be replaced in November, December, right around January of this year. And this is another 5,000 gallon HP tank. This one was also one of the higher priority ones to be replaced, based on the assessment that we had done in 2014, I believe it was. So we're getting to that one now. So that's a good thing. That will also be ASME certified tank. Next slide, Christian. Nokomis Sky retaining wall and well equipping. So this one, that's just an artist rendition there. That photo. It's not actually the wall's not up yet, but that's something what it'll look like, similar to what it'll look like. So the design's complete for the site, the civil, the electrical. Now we're moving forward with the wall contractor, the retaining wall, as well as the perimeter wall. And once that's completed, we're going to move into equipping the well. And we expect to have that well by the end of this fiscal year connected to the system. This is a really promising well. We've had it permitted for 9,000 gallons per minute. And we're excited about getting that one online. Next slide. This is the steam pump well. And this was, I took this picture when I was out there. This must have been an old well, but it's not our future well. But I thought that was kind of neat. We were out staking for blue stake for design. So when we were out staking, I ran across this one. So I thought I'd take a picture of that and put it in. So steam pump well as well. So we're working on the civil. The survey's complete. The civil is going to start here shortly, and then the electrical, and then we'll move into perimeter wall and equipping that one as well. This one, we're also expecting to get this well up and running this fiscal year as well. That's the plan.
Hey Lee.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to steal this photo when we're all done with steam pump, and I put it in the executive report. I'm going to attach this picture.
I like that. Yeah, here's our well.
$500,000.
$500,000. Part of the museum. Right. And so next slide, Christian. This is the La Cañada offsite electrical discharge piping. This project's going to be a multi-year project where we're looking at first bringing in power to the site. You can see the 3 million gallon reservoir kind of in the background there. We're going to build a booster to serve our F and G zone. But before we can do that, we need to bring in the power. There's no doesn't have the current existing required power that we need out there. So we've done the design this year for the power requirements. We're going to look at the site layout as far as the civil goes, the boosters that are going to be required and the location. We've brought in a developer to the north, has the G-zone piping, has already come in as part of a new development. And then the F-zone will construct that discharge once the boosters are built. So that's planned in the coming fiscal year. But this fiscal year, we're planning on putting in the electrical, bringing in the electrical power so that we can service that future booster. Next slide. That's it. Okay, thank you.
Any questions for Lee? Just let me say that It looks like a very aggressive and very substantial amount of work you have left. So hopefully you can get all that done.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations to Peter for the side gig of utility design engineer. He's not busy doing director duties.
Oh, old habits die hard.
He designed it and directed it. Yeah.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Lee.
Thank you.
Move on to the town council meeting communication.
Could you say where are we?
Town council meeting communication.
Okay. Danielle, this is Councilmember Pena's. Okay, thank you. I don't have my agenda up. So unfortunately, Councilmember Pena couldn't be with us this evening. She said the only thing that she really had to report on was council has adopted the budget for this fiscal year. So now we just got to go to work. And that was all she had. And she regrets not being able to tell you in person.
Okay, short and sweet. Thank you. So next item is subcommittee commissioner reports. Do we have anything from the finance subcommittee? Shaking heads, no. Okay. Water resources and conservation subcommittee? Not that I know of. Okay, so we'll move on to agenda item 7, staff reports. Mary, financial report.
Okay, thank you, Chair McMillan. I'd like to, it's fine. Okay, I'd like to first begin, next slide, please. I'd like to first begin with a financial update for fiscal year ending 2019-20. And I just want to remind everyone that these are unaudited numbers. First, potable water sales. We were above budget by $87,394. Reclaimed water sales, we were slightly below budget by $20,580. Groundwater preservation fees were slightly below by $7,810. Service fees, we were above budget by $8,784. So overall, we came pretty close to budget. Revenues overall were above budget by $67,788.
Hey, Mary.
Uh-huh.
What does it mean when you say they're unaudited numbers?
That means that those are the numbers on our books, the town's books right now. But there's going to be an audit done in September by the town. And these numbers could change maybe slightly.
Okay. So if 6 months from now someone says, hey, your reclaimed water sales are different by $200, that's why.
Right.
Got it.
Okay. Next slide. With expenses, we were above budget on personnel by about $10,000 due to an unbudgeted leave payout of a retired employee. In operations and maintenance, we were below budget by about $1 million due to not purchasing groundwater extinguishment credits of $800,000, and we had cost savings in O&M across the divisions. We were below budget in capital by about $2.3 million. Debt service, we were at budget. So in total expenses were below budget by about $3.3 million.
Hey, Mary, can I just chime in on the extinguishment credits?
Mm-hmm.
So, commissioners, we had budgeted $800,000. to purchase groundwater extinguishment credits, and we would therefore pledge them to our groundwater allowance account. We've been looking for opportunities to bolster our groundwater allowance account because we had nearly depleted it, between 2005 and 2012-14 area. And I can usually buy these for $190, $200 an acre foot. And recently in the Phoenix area, which is a different management area than the Tucson active management area completely, a municipality up there got a WIFA loan and spent, I'm not kidding, I think it was like $50 million on groundwater extinguishment credits. And they paid, I think it was $350, $400 an acre foot. And now everybody that has extinguishment credits thinks they're worth that much. To me, they're not. So we didn't pass go and collect $200 on that. That was an anomaly. And what happens in another active management area doesn't translate to ours. So once people settle down and the prices come back down to what I think is a reasonable market value, and maybe I'm the one that's wrong, but I'm not going to spend $800,000 for, 2,000 acre feet of water. So I would expect like triple that amount. So we just didn't spend that money. Thank you, Mary. Sorry.
Okay. Next slide, please. Recently, we had a bond rating upgrade. Fitch Ratings upgraded the Series 2012 Water Revenue Bonds to AA from AA-. So the bond upgrade reflected the water utility's strong financial profile. And some of the key rating drivers for the bond upgrade were strong revenues, affordable rates, low operating costs, and continued growth. Peter, did you want to?
No, that was something that was really a little unexpected and a neat to see. The town management was really pleased, and I think it was just reflective. I think it just reflects the utility's strong financial position. They recognize that our debt to asset ratio is very low. We have very low debt compared to the value of our system. We have debt coming off the books. We're planning for the future. We have resources. We're managed. They look at everything. They look at our water resource portfolio. They look at the staff you have. What is their experience? What is their knowledge? What is your plan? What is your strategic plan? It's quite the physical exam. So to get upgraded is really kind of cool. That was neat. So, and they look at the commission too, how are the members doing? Just kidding. No, but the fact that we have a commission, that they like that. They like seeing that there's public involvement with the planning of what the utility is doing. Thanks, Mayor.
It's important that we may be able to borrow money at a cheaper rate going forward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. This is, for future, bonding or borrowing of money, we can expect a lower rate. Definitely. And Mary, that was Fitch, right?
Right, Fitch.
Uh-huh. What is the other rating agency?
Standard and Poor's.
And what is our rating with Standard and Poor's?
Same. It's the same.
Double A. Double A.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, so both, and Fitch and Standard and Poor's, those are the two major rating agencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're AA with both of them. That's awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Customer service update. New meters installed, we were up 6 from 18-19. Our customer base increased by 273. Water audits performed, we did 7 more than last fiscal year. The Water Smart registered accounts actually went up pretty big. It went up to 1,750. So we have 5,500 registered accounts. And this has a lot to do with customer service staff encouraging customers to register in Water Smart. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
I think I saw a hand raised by Commissioner Mayor.
Yeah, that's correct. I just had a quick question on the, there's about a $2 million positive variance on capital expenditures. And I'm just wondering if that's timing, project scope, or cost savings, or, you know, net savings realized, or anything like that.
Commissioner Merrick, if that was cost savings, I would be like working for like the president, wouldn't I? That, no, I wish that was cost savings. What that's reflective of is we didn't complete the equipping of the steam pump well due to some delays we've had in permitting with ADOT right-of-way, as well as not equipping or completing the equipping of the Nokomis Sky well, and that had to do with some development issues with the Nokomis Sky project kind of being put on hold. We think we're kind of back on track on that. So really it's not cost savings. We didn't get two major projects done.
Okay, so it was just project delay. I got it.
Yes.
Thanks.
Commissioner Hurt. You have to unmute yourself.
Yeah, they've got to unmute. Back to the extinguishment credits. Peter and Mary, in the new budget, do you have the latitude that you need to go after the credits that we might want to go after next year? In other words, I haven't closely looked at the new budget that was approved, but basically, did that money disappear and you have no call on basically that money? Is that what happened?
So it went back to our, you know, it stays in our, in our cash reserves. We did not budget that money to be spent this fiscal year. You know, we kind of saw the writing on the wall with the whole COVID thing, and maybe we wouldn't get our rate increase. And there's too much volatility right now in the water resource markets. And so we didn't budget. But I know with the support we have with the town manager and council, if I came across a deal that was just too good to pass up, we could have probably amend our budget to make that purchase, but I don't really see that happening this fiscal year.
Okay. As a follow-up, so you think that you have the latitude at this point?
If someone was just giving them away for $100 an acre foot, I mean, yeah, I'd be crawling over to admin, you know, please let me spend $1 million that I didn't budget. And, you know, and the support we've had with it, we've seen from this council, I think they've been very supportive of us. So, but I don't think that's going to happen. But anyways, it isn't budgeted. We'd have to go back to council for an amendment.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? Peter, can you hear me?
Yes.
What, do you have a projection for the how many customers we'll add to the system next year, 2021?
I think, Mary, do we budget 250?
225.
25?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so when we do those numbers, we work with our new development folks across the hall in community and economic development. And, you know, they had for several years, we had been in the low 300s range, and due to COVID and those sorts of things, they were projecting the market to soften a little bit. So it dropped down to 225.
Thank you.
Any
Any other questions, comments? All right, thank you so much, Peter.
Thank you, Mary.
On to, oh, Mary, thank you, Mary, not Peter. Let's go on to Water Resource Usage Report, Peter.
Okay, thank you. There we go. Thank you, Christian. Next slide, please. So just is just showing on a calendar year from January through June, our water resource utilization in our main service area. As I had mentioned earlier, we're seeing an uptick here in 2020. Across a little higher, pretty much in everything except the CAP production. And the reason that's the same is we baseload our CAP wheeling. It's the same flow 365 days a year. So from a potable perspective, the only number that really varies is if we have more demand is our groundwater production. Reclaim was up a little bit. So those, when you see the reclaimed up and it's that early heat we saw, it got hot pretty quick, pretty fast, it's been pretty dry. So we see that uptick there. Next slide, please. And of course, I have yet to see it where Countryside didn't mirror our main service area. So here again, Countryside is bumped up in the groundwater production. I'm not sure why the CAP production number is down. We might have been out of service for several weeks. I didn't really pick up on that, but anyhow, it is mirroring what the main service area is, so a little higher production compared to this time last year. Next slide, please. And I thought the commission would find this interesting, the Bighorn Fire. I think for about that first month, the Oral Valley was providing most of the firefighting water for that effort. Several water tankers were pulling water from hydrants at the marketplace, driving across Oracle Road to Catalina State Park, filling up those portable reservoirs. They call them pumpkins. They're using quite a bit of water for the first couple of weeks there for sure. Really quickly, we reached out to the Forest Service, or it was very collaborative actually. We were part of the emergency operations center that the Forest Service had. We got in contact with the right people, and we entered into a contract agreement where this is how much the water is going to cost you per gallon. Water consumption ranged between 100,000 and 300,000 gallons a day, and the total consumption was just under 2 million gallons. And Forest Service was very quick we invoiced them, and they were very quick to pay us by credit card. But kind of neat to be a part of that team and that firefighting effort. But I think it went pretty well. The only thing I wish we could have done differently, I wish we had a stub out and a hydrant in Catalina State Park, but getting under I-10 now would be really expensive. So for the time being, it's water trucks. Next slide, please. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
But the Forest Service paid by credit card, I'm wondering if they get points. That's why they want to use a park.
Maybe so.
Okay, any comments, questions for Peter? Okay, let's move on to Peter again with the director's report.
Thank you, Chair McMillan. This will be short and sweet. Not a lot. Not a lot going on regionally. The most exciting thing that happened was the coordination meeting with CAP that I spoke of earlier. Next slide, please. But just kind of upcoming meetings. Council's off taking the summer break for August, but we're resuming Zoom meetings. First one, September 2nd, town council regular session, 6 p.m. And then September 14th, our water utility commission meeting. That's going to be a Zoom meeting. And I have slated Mark Taylor to come speak with us. He's one of the principals at Westland Resources and is also on the CAP board. And there's some exciting things going on that I've asked them to talk to the commission about, and you get to hear somebody else talk besides me. And finally, September 16th, town council regular session. It's another Zoom meeting at 6 p.m. And that concludes my director's report. Thank you.
Okay, so we're just wrapping up here. We'll do another call to audience. Do we have anybody from the audience?
No hands.
Anybody in the audience? We'll close that. Is the future agenda items? Does anybody have a future agenda item they would like to discuss? Okay. So we're at adjournment. Do I have a motion on adjournment? I cannot hear you.
I move adjournment. Finally, we got unmuted.
Do I have a second on that motion?
Second.
Second, so motion by Commissioner Hurt, second by Commissioner Merrick. We have a roll call.
Chair McMillan? Yes. Vice Chair Reynolds?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Here.
Commissioner Hurt?
Yes.
Commissioner Merrick?
Yes.
Commissioner Melfi?
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. We are officially adjourned at 6:23 p.m.
Thank you, commissioners, and Danielle, Lee, Mary, Christian. Thank you.
Second successful Zoom meeting.
Thank you. Good job. Good job, Chair McMillan.
Great job to all the staff getting us together and making it work. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Danielle.